Hello and welcome to Made in Science, the official podcast of the University of Stuttgart. Today, I want to talk with the director of the Linden Museum, which is a museum of anthropology here in downtown Stuttgart, Professor Ines De Castro. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm pleased to be here.
You are a distinguished ethnologist and expert in Mesoamerican studies. I would like to talk with you about your commitment to fostering cultural understanding at the Linden Museum, how you and your team promote global dialogue, and your view on the role of an ethnological museum here in Stuttgart in the future. Let's start. The mission statement of the Linden Museum website is both to me very impressive and comprehensive. I read, for instance, the following paragraph, quote, "The human being is our focus. We deal with questions of society, identity, cultural change, faith, and globalization. We stand for tolerance and respect and enable visitors to encounter different realities of life in the world with an open mind beyond a European perspective," unquote. Among these many aspects, how do you differentiate between them, and are there special connections that you draw between them to highlight some more than others? Or in what relation do these aspects stand to each other?
Well, I think that mankind is always in the middle of the research of anthropology, and anthropology is a subject that covers all relations to mankind in religion, in society, in the context, in political contexts, for example, and other contexts. So there is a wide range of topics that we can deal on, concentrating on the people and their relations to their world or to their context. And I think that today, Museum of Anthropology focuses mainly on diversity and the changing of societies. Yeah, especially if you look on Stuttgart. Stuttgart is the city that with the highest range of migration background people. So we have around 50% of our Stuttgart population has a migration background. And so I think that the important topic for our museums is really to see how we can work on social cohesion, on a new form, perhaps, of identity. What is that? The new we? What is it? The new Stuttgart? And that is a very important topic in this very conflictive situation that we have worldwide today.
The Linden Museum became a state museum in 1973. And if I'm correct, it was a private museum, private institution before that. Please, can you tell us what led to the transition from the private to the public institution?
Well, the museum was founded by an association, yeah. Württembergischer Verein für Handelsgeographie. And this association was created in the end of the 19th century, so in the middle of the colonial times. And it was led by Karl Graf von Linden, who was a lawyer and at the Württemberg king. And he started with the collection. He was a networker, a very impressive networker, writing letters to the whole world, asking all the people from Württemberg abroad to bring them objects for the new museum. And he had a brilliant idea. Berlin, for example, the new Museum of Berlin that was also created in the end of the 19th century. Karl Graf von Linden was an impressive networker and wrote to all the Württemberg people worldwide asking for objects for his new collection. And the museum was established in 1911, 1 year after his death, and therefore he's the name giver of the museum. And the Linden Museum was in private hands of this association until 1973, where the government of Baden-Württemberg took over together with the city of Stuttgart as stakeholders of the museum because of financial reasons.
Thank you for having highlighted that background. Overall, the museum has currently about 160,000 objects. That's a very impressive number. At the same time, you cover also multiple parts around the world. This goes from Oceania, Southeast Asia, but also South America, and some from Europe even. Could you share more about the scope of the collection and how it reflects diversity?
Well, the collection is in itself very diverse. It incorporates ritual objects, daily life objects, and also art objects worldwide. From different parts of the world that were gathered from the 19th century until today. It is important to say that we are still collecting at the museum also to sensibilize our public for the cultural change, yeah, not to freeze collections or to freeze cultures in the past. So we are still collecting. And we do that in many cases together with the so-called source communities or heritage communities. The regions where our objects come from.
And to finance this, there is also a special model for this acquisition process.
Well, we are very happy that the state of Baden-Württemberg allows the state museums to buy art pieces through the lottery income.
Some years ago, I taught a course on the connection between department stores, museums, and theme parks. One aspect focused on the changing aspects of display. How do you see the relevance and also the potential for displaying artifacts in our time?
It's not an easy question. I think objects can inherit different meanings and different layers also of power. For most communities or source communities where our objects come from, the objects are alive. So differently than in our secular perspective, I would say, if I may call it like that, we have living individuals in our storages. Subjects would be perhaps the better word and not objects. So it is very important to present those objects with an interpretation and a meaning that is worked out together with the communities of origin.
Now, next to the subjects or objects, a museum needs also an audience. When you plan exhibitions for special groups, perhaps even on special topics, do you think certain components are absolutely vital and essential today? I could also perhaps think of the fact that children might have a different interest in going to the museum than adults, but not necessarily. So how do you deal with this complex issue?
Well, public is also very changing, like society is. And I think that the pandemic also changed the ways of how public interferes with cultural institutions. Yeah, all cultural institutions have a hard time of bringing the public back that we had before the pandemic, really, because people are more afraid to go out with others, perhaps, and to meet in different spaces they don't know. They also don't plan so much into the future. They are much more spontaneous. Yeah? What is something that for Germans, perhaps, it's something quite new, I would say. But yes, all there are very different publics according to age, according to education also as well. Or there are needs of special communities, for example, like the Black community in Stuttgart that we sometimes address. But children and families are very much in the focus of our museum. Besides the, I would say, the classical public that is the educated, culturally interested public. At the moment, for example, we have an exhibition for small kids, Spurensuche, so looking for traces. It is an exhibition about animals and their natural contexts. And it is for kids from 6 to 10. This is an age that is not so much addressed by cultural institutions so far. And we are very positive with this and with very good results. And for the kids, it is important that they can interact, for example, yeah, that they can do something in the museum, that they have an experience in the museum and that they have fun. And that's very important because kids bring also the parents to the museum and not the other way around.
When has this awareness of addressing particular groups, whether they are kids or other groups, you also have a very strong youth club at the museum. You might want to say a couple of words about that as well. When has this trend actually started? You came to the museum 15 years ago, but in your awareness and also at the professional positions that you were before, perhaps that was also quite relevant already?
Yes, I think it was always relevant, yeah. And there were always questionnaires for public, for example, to get to know your own public. That is very important, I think, for cultural institutions. Yes, I think the awareness was always there. What has changed is really what the expectations are. Yeah, the expectations of young people that are looking, for example, now for a digital experience in the museums, or the expectations also from the classic public that still seeks a lot of learning. Yeah, they want to learn something from the museum. That is still there, and we are trying to get a better notion of our public just to meet those expectations.
And when it comes to research, the Lind Museum is very active in the field of provenance research. Currently, there is also an exhibition running on Benin restitution. What was the process behind this exhibition like?
Well, perhaps speaking about research, research is the basis, I think, of the museum, and it is always connected with the object. So what we do is object or collection research. And we, for many years now, we try not to do this alone again. We think that it is very important to incorporate also people from the heritage societies into our research and to incorporate their perspectives and also to give them the voice and the possibility to transmit their perspectives to our public as well. So at the end, I would say we are doing like a multi-perspective research, yeah, with different viewpoints that we try to foster for the public. The Benin collection is one of our critical collections that came into the museum in the time of colonialism. Germany, even if the remembrance is not very alive in Germany concerning the colonial time, we had for 30 years some colonies in the South Seas and in Africa and also in China. And for in this timing, a lot of objects came into the museum by very unethical contexts, meaning mainly military attacks of the German troops towards the heritage societies, and I think coming from this colonial era and being an institution that had a lot of profit out of these colonial times, yeah, and you see also the idea of collecting objects and art outside Europe is also a very colonial idea, yeah, separating Europe from the rest of the world. So I think we have this responsibility to look at our institutional history and to do a reappraisal of our colonial collections. And we do that with provenience research. We do that with a lot of programs also that relate us with the communities that were involved in that time. And especially at the moment, we are working on Nigeria, but also on Cameroon and on Namibia and Tanzania as well.
And with Namibia, students were involved.
Yes, with Namibia, for us, restitution process is very important, but it is not the only result that we would like to gain from the reappraisal of our colonial collections. For us, restitution is the beginning of a long-lasting cooperation with several communities. And concerning Namibia, the idea came up to include young people, to include students into this common work on collections. And so we invited 10 students from the Public History Department of the University of Tübingen and 10 students from the University of Namibia to the Linden Museum, and we worked together on a very heavy genocide context collections of Namibia. And that was, I think, a very emotional, a very difficult and complex situation, but also a very positive situation that had also deep impact in Namibia. And that is also very important.
And very important is also that you are active in several boards at various cultural institutions. One of them is the university board at the University of Stuttgart. And I understand it is already your second term there. What is your role as a board member, and what kind of contribution do you think can you bring to that board?
Well, the university here is very technical oriented, so it is not my main expertise on the research basis. But I'm one of the board members that are considered as the external board members. And what I can contribute is a perspective from humanities, a perspective from society, from the city of Stuttgart, looking at what the university does.
If we look back on your own life, can you recall what was your first museum experience?
Well, according to my mom, I was with her in the Prado in Madrid when I was 5 years old. And after 2 or 3 hours, she is always saying that I had like that I shouted and wanted to go out.
A little aggression?
And that I had a total aggression moment. But I cannot remember that myself. So I don't know if this is the truth or not. But I think I was born into a cultural interested family that had to immigrate to Argentina in 1938. So therefore I think visiting the European museums with the small kids were very important for my parents.
In your professional life, you worked for a year at the National Museum of Anthropology in Mexico City. What insights and what experiences from that time at that museum have you brought back here and have already or implemented at Linden Museum or want to do that? I'm asking that also because I know from a conversation between us that I'm also very impressed by the National Museum of Anthropology in Mexico City. So you are impressed by that as well. And there must be a lead and a link now to the Linden Museum.
Well, the museum in Mexico City is really, I would say, one of the best museums in the world. It is a very impressive architecture, I think, and a very impressive collection at the same time. Anthropology has in the Global South a total different perspective as here in Europe. Here we collect in quotation marks the rest of the world, outside Europe, and in the Global South, like in Mexico City, they collect their own culture. And we were very happy that we had a very deep cooperation with this museum at the Linden Museum for a huge and very important Aztec exhibition that we had 2019, recording the 500 years of Spanish invasion and destruction of the Aztec culture. And this exhibition was also shown in Holland, in Leiden, in Vienna, and also in Seoul.
Well, that covers quite a bit of a distance from Mexico City, for sure. So cooperation is going on. But still, there is talk all the time what will happen with the Linden Museum and its space and its, as we heard, 160,000 objects. Does it need a new space? Can we look a little bit into the future? What the latest is on that?
We really hope to be able to remodel our old building that was destructed during the war and build up very quickly in the beginning of the 50s. So there are a lot of challenges, structural challenges to the building. We hope that the state of Baden-Württemberg and the city of Stuttgart pushes a new museum in short time.
Now we have heard a lot about what happens at the museum, the changes, also plans for the future. But my real concern and question is, what happens at the museum at night?
Well, this is very interesting, but I have no clue what happens at night. We could ask the security, perhaps, or another possibility would be to ask our youth club, because they stayed overnight at the museum for a couple of nights. Because they asked me that they wanted to stay overnight, and they should know what happens.
So we got to invite them next time. At the end of our conversation, we have a tradition in this podcast to come up with a questionnaire that covers 7 questions. We call it Moment 7. Moment 1. Spätzle or Maultaschen?
I prefer Italian pasta.
Moment 2. One thing you could change about the world would be?
Peace.
Moment 3. What is your recommendation for a book or a movie or a theater or, for that matter, museum visit?
I'm a big fan of the opera, and I would encourage everybody to go to the Stuttgart Opera.
Moment 4. The best advice that you have ever received was?
Take it easy.
Moment 5. Your favorite place in the city of Stuttgart?
The Wilhelma Botanical Garden and Zoo.
Moment 6. Please finish the following sentence. If I could start all over again, I would do the following differently.
I would change history.
And moment 7. Again, please complete the sentence. Thanks to my work, I know that...
That diversity is great and that we should celebrate it.
Thank you. For our conversation about the ever-changing landscape of museums, and certainly of the Linden Museum here in Stuttgart as well. Wishing you and your colleagues and the visitors to the Linden Museum always an engaging and deep cultural understanding.
Thank you, and see you at the museum.
And to our audience, please stay tuned for our next conversations that are always based on what is made in science. On the occasion of the 50th edition of our podcast, special thanks to my colleagues Christina Fischer, online editor at University Communications, and Vanessa Mirzialoglu, representative director at Alumni Relations of the University of Stuttgart. Many happy returns to Made in Science. My name is Wolfgang Holtkamp. Have a great podcast day. Goodbye and good talking.